with the teaching which we started last week Sunday on the spirit of forgiveness. In an age in which people have been taught, Christians are actively being taught to kill their enemies in prayers. I have seen Christians who say that they pray to deal with somebody. I have heard of a Christian whose boss offended her in the office. And when she got home, she told her husband. And she and her husband woke up in the middle of the night and placed a chair in the middle of their sitting room. And then they said they commanded the spirit of that boss to come into their sitting room. And then they dealt with the spirit of that woman. And do you know what, Pastor? The next week, that woman resigned. She resigned from that office that they dealt with her. And I said, what you have done is witchcraft. That is not Christianity. And a lot of Christians wake up in the middle of the night to pray dangerous prayers. I told you last Sunday that I saw a poster around Baga that said a church promoting a vigil. They said dangerous prayers. All your enemies must die. And that is not Christianity. That is witchcraft. And if we are not careful as people of God, Satan will turn the spiritual gifts, the spiritual power that God has given us to do the will of the devil rather than to do the will of God. Jesus Christ says, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It is Satan who has come to kill and to destroy. Jesus says he has come to give life and to give it more abundantly. So he has given us principles, what we are to do to handle offenses. He made it clear to us in Luke chapter 17 verse 1 that it is impossible but that offenses shall come. That there is nothing you can do about it. You are going to get offended. It's impossible. If you say you will live your life and nobody will offend you, Jesus Christ says it is impossible. You will be offended. But he now says, woe to him by whom the offense comes. For it is better if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause this little ones, or one of these little ones that believeth in me, to offend. Now, which means, as a child of God, you must make sure you are not the offender. That's the first thing. Because he says, if you offend somebody else, and by that offense, you cause that person to stumble, you cause that person to sin against God, Jesus Christ said, it is better just commit suicide before I come. Before I get to you, find the most painful way to kill yourself. Find the most horrible way to kill yourself before I come. Because when I come, what I will do to you? That's Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Let's read it together, please. Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Make sure you are not the offender. But then the offense will come. It is written the offense that it will not come. Jesus Christ says it is impossible. Now, what we are looking at in this series now is that when the offense comes, how are you supposed to react? We looked at the issue of Jesus Christ. They hung him on the cross. He did nothing wrong. His right was taken away. He was taken before the governor. The governor pronounced three times, this man is innocent. I find nothing wrong with this man. This man has done nothing wrong. And then they still insisted he must be crucified. So Pontius Pilate took a bowl of water and he washed his hand. Say, look, I am innocent of the death of this man. This man is innocent. But if you people say you want him dead, he's a Jew like yourself. Go and kill him. Now that's a very terrible state. And I don't think any of us have gotten to that state of offense yet, that a judge will declare you free and people will still say they want to persecute you. And even then, instead of getting angry, you tell the people, you tell the Almighty God, Father, forgive them. Do you notice something there? That Jesus did not talk to the people offending him. He spoke to God. Do you notice that? He didn't tell the people, I have forgiven you. He didn't tell the people what you are doing. Okay, I'm not angry. He said, Almighty God, forgive them. Because every sin that we commit, it is against God. If I do something wrong to you, I'm not sinning against you, I'm sinning against God. So when somebody offends you, the offender primarily is not offending you, the offender is offending God. Because God is the judge. So we are going to continue from where we stopped. I'm just trying to do a quick recap so that to jog our memory and also for the benefit of those who are not here last week Sunday. You remember also the story of the wicked servant who owed his master 10,000 talents, which if it was gold, it is $6 billion. If it was silver, it was $75 million. And his master said, I forgive you. You can't pay, go. And then he saw another servant that owed him 100 denarii, which is about $65. And he grabbed the man by the throat and said, unless you pay me what you owe me, I'm going to throw you into jail. And he threw the man into jail. And his master heard. And the master said, you wicked servant, I forgave you $6 billion. Or maybe if it is silver, I forgave you $75 million. You cannot forgive somebody $65. And that's where most of us are. We don't even remember the number of times we have offended God. We don't even remember the number of times we have offended other people. But when somebody offends us, we will engrave it with iron on concrete. And say, I will not forgive you. Look, this thing that you have done. And God looks down at you and says, what nonsense are you talking about? I saw what you did yesterday, I forgave you. The one you did the year before, I forgave you. The one you've been doing since your secondary school, I've been forgiving you. What do you mean you can't forgive this one? Release him. And you say, no, I will not. And then you go to a church where they teach you, all my enemies must fall down and die. All my enemies must fall down and die. Wherever they are, I command the arrow of God to strike you. That's witchcraft. It's not Christianity. Please don't join them. Jesus Christ says, bless your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If any man smite you on the right cheek, do what? Turn to him the other also. That is what Christ says. Except we are not following Jesus. So, we also looked at what the Lord said we should do if somebody should offend you. I hope we remember that. Remember, there are phases that Jesus Christ says you should use to treat an offender. Number one, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. It says, number one, go to the person. He didn't tell you, call the person. No. He didn't tell you, wait for the offender to come and meet you. Are you getting me? Many of us, when we are offended, we are waiting for the fellow who offended us to come and apologize before we will forgive. You understand? He didn't say that. He says, once you say, John has offended me, then I must go and meet John. I must not even call John to come. I must go and meet him wherever he is and tell him what he has done. And if John says, no, I did not offend you, then he says, I can now call one or two other persons to go with me. And if John still says no, then I should come to the church, report to the church, and let the church now call John and say, look, what you have done is wrong. If John still says no, say at that point, I should forget him. He's not a brother. Why? Because every matter is established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. If you do one thing and one person comes and say what you have done is wrong, and you shrug it off. If two people come and tell you what you have done is wrong and you shrug it off, and three people tell you what you have done is wrong, brother, you are wrong. The Arabs have a saying, they have a proverb. The Arabs say, if one man calls you a donkey, say ignore him. If two men call you a donkey, ignore them. If five people call you a donkey, go and buy a saddle. You are a donkey. Do you understand? If five people are saying the same thing about you, forget it. They are right. They are right. So by the time two or three people join mouth together and say this thing that you are doing, it is wrong, don't argue anymore. Don't argue. Just change. You are wrong. The word of God says every matter is established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Romans chapter 12. We continue. Romans chapter 12. So far, I hope we all have an understanding of all that we have shared. Amen? Can I get a witness? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. You have a question? Good. The Lord says, if you offend someone, and by your offense you cause another believer in him to commit sin. Are you getting my point? Because the question that was asked is that in telling the person to find a way to kill himself, that is that not a much more greater sin? Okay, than what he has already done. What Jesus Christ tells the fellow is, if you cause another believer to stumble, like somebody is born again, okay, the fellow comes to church, and maybe the fellow is looking up to you, and you do something that offends that young convert, and the young convert says, all these things they say about Christianity is even a lie. See what that older Christians did. If that is what is called Christianity, I'm not going to church anymore. And the fellow turns back. Are you getting my point? By your action, you have caused one of these little ones. Because Jesus Christ looks at the young convert as a lamb. Remember what he told Peter in John chapter 21. He says, Peter, feed my lamb, the first time. Before he said, second time, Peter, feed my sheep. The lamb is the baby of the sheep, the little ones. So Jesus Christ sees every young convert as a lamb, someone that must be protected. Now he has just managed to bath somebody into the church. You are already driving the person back into the hands of the devil. Are you getting my point? That's where Jesus Christ says, it is better that the fellow tie a millstone round about his neck. That a millstone. That's what he's saying. Whether he's the one or somebody does it for him, he says it's better if a millstone is, of course, it's better if a millstone is hung about his neck, is that somebody has to put the millstone there. Yes, sir. Of course, the person will not hang it.
That means the person from the society is a better. What about the person who is responsible for hanging his stone on that person's neck? That person is also producing money.
No. If you look at it that way, then God will not judge sin. Are you getting my point?
What the fact is, I think I don't know, but I prefer to go to the sentence. sorry, because we are that person who will do that to that 50 years old. Then that person is your little mother. So I think the person just can't think about his own mental.
Well, let me explain something to you about God. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 4. The Bible says God has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. You understand? God created the good person, and even the wicked person, God created him. Even the devil, that is the most wicked fellow on the earth today, God created him. Are you following along with me? Satan did not create himself. Even the demons, God created them. You understand? The day that it is going to be good, God uses the good person. The day that it is going to be bad, God uses the bad person. Are you following along with me? In Isaiah chapter 45, God says that I, the Lord, I bring light and I create darkness. I make peace and I bring disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. It is God. If disaster strikes anywhere, before you blame the devil, ask the Almighty God, why did you permit it? Because before Satan can take a step, the Almighty God must tell him, go. If God does not say go, Satan can't strike you. You remember the case of Job very well. Do you remember that? That Satan had to get permission from the Almighty God, and God set the limit that he must go. And God told him, you must not go beyond this point. Are you getting the point? Now, if somebody causes an offense and God wants to deal with the person, there are also people more wicked than him. They may not be going to heaven, no. But at that particular moment, they are a tool for the Almighty God to use. I'll give you another illustration. The children of Israel were the covenant children of God, right? Then they sinned against God. You remember? And God told them through prophecy that I will use Assyria. Assyria is my whip. Assyria will chastise you. That is why Jonah ran away. You remember the story of Jonah? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away because he had already had the prophecy that God says Assyria, the people in Nineveh, are coming to destroy Israel. So if he should go and preach to them, and the people in Nineveh should repent, then God will preserve them to destroy Israel. And he didn't want God to preserve them to destroy Israel. So he said, don't let me preach to them so that they will perish. And God brought him back by force, and he preached. And when the people repented, Jonah became very angry. Are you following along with me? And he told the Almighty God, is this not what I told you before I left my country? I know that you are merciful. I know that you will forgive them. Of course, God forgave them, and Assyria still destroyed the 10 tribes, destroyed the 10 northern kingdom. Till today, nobody knows where those people are. The Israelites that we know today are from the southern tribe, the tribe of Judah. The 10 tribes that are in the north, up till today, they have completely disappeared. Nobody knows, can say, these are those Israelites on the face of the earth. But they are here. Are you following along with me? Now, the point I'm making to you is that in Luke chapter 17, the Almighty God tells you, don't be the cause of an offense. If you are the one who causes an offense and you cause a young convert or another Christian to stumble and to fall, say it is better if a millstone is cast about the neck of that person and that's a terrible form of death. Are you following along with me? The fellow has a big stone. You know a millstone? The stone they used to grind. Even look at the small one that they used to grind pepper here. The fellow has the millstone tied to his neck and is thrown into the ocean. What happens to him? He's sinking. He's alive. He's trying, struggling to remove the stone. At the same time, he's choking. He's suffocating. It's a terrible way to die. So Jesus Christ says, what I will do to you after you have caused somebody to stumble, say, it is better. As terrible as dying through a millstone in your on the throat and being flung into the sea, he said, it is nothing compared to what I will do to you. Do you understand now? Do you get it now? He said, it is better for that offender that a millstone were tied around his neck and is hung into the sea. Because when I come, what I will do to you will be worse than a millstone is tied around your neck. Do you understand now? Is it clear now? Is it clear to everybody now? Don't forget that word, it is better. He didn't say it is worse. It is not the worst. He said that's the least you can do to yourself. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
What if the person who says no, that he hasn't done anything wrong, do not get 5 witnesses? Then people too will get 5 witnesses and see people.
That's an interesting question. then it becomes a vote. Your logic is interesting. Yeah. And you know, somehow it makes sense. It says, if 3 people should say you are wrong and you are about accepting, and then other 3 people too should come and say you are right. So what now happens? Then you take it to God in prayer. Because what is going to happen then? Then you take it to God in prayer. Are you getting my point? So if 5 people say what you have done is wrong, another 5 people, you two manage to raise 5 people of your own that say what you have done is right, then it's now 5-5, right? Then God has to judge. You take it to God in prayer, or maybe you wait for the 6th person who will now cast the deciding vote. Sir?
I forgot everything about what just struck my mind now. If personally believe, as I ask this person, that if I have a problem with somebody,
yes,
and we somehow there's a little fight,
yeah,
and we part ways.
Okay, you have a problem with somebody, yes, there's a little fight, yes. Okay, and then you part ways, okay. And
maybe somehow,
yeah,
I'm innocent.
You are innocent, okay. Yes.
And the person,
yeah,
that goes about telling the story,
yeah, is the guilty one.
Telling different kinds of stories,
yeah.
And now people tend to believe him because he's the only one speaking.
That is correct.
Now, based on what you said,
yes.
Now, if such a thing happens,
yeah,
the one that is speaking all the rubbish,
yes,
people will believe him. What happens to the person that is not even saying anything that is quiet?
That is an interesting aspect of Christianity. You have a problem with someone, you are innocent, and then the fellow that is guilty goes about slandering you and saying wrong things, which usually is what happens. It is those that are wrong that complain the most, okay? And people will believe what they say. Are you getting my point? And most people will now begin to castigate you and ostracize you that you are a bad person while you are the innocent person. At that point, you show whether you are a Christian or not. Because the first reaction, the first human reaction, is for you to rise to defend yourself. Are you getting my point? What Jesus Christ will have you to do is to keep quiet and let God defend you. Are you following along with me? It's very painful. I can tell you it is very, very painful. If you have been slandered and maligned, if you have ever gone through it, and the people who are saying evil things about you are even people that you trust, and people that you thought will understand, and they are the ones who are saying all those terrible things. Jesus Christ expects you to keep quiet. That is what he did. You know, we read it last week, Sunday, 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 21, that when he was reviled, he reviled not, but he committed himself into the hands of him that judgeth righteously. Do you get the point? When the fellow begins to slander, God expects you to keep quiet, don't say anything. And when you keep quiet, that is when God will fight. The moment you start talking, God stops fighting for you. See, after all, you have gone to defend yourself. What is left for him to do? But if you allow him to handle it, he will do it in such a way, it may take 1 year. It may take 2 years. But by the time God does it, you will forget the pain of all that slander. You will be so grateful that you kept quiet. Are you following along with me? Let's read 1 Peter. Please, let's read it again to remind ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm very happy for all these questions that you are asking. It's very good, so that we can get some things sorted out by experience. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. Are we there? Okay. For even hereunto were ye called. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. Are we there? 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is after James. James is after Hebrews. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. The Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called. This is what you are called into. Are you getting the point? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. What are his steps? Who did no sin? Completely innocent. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't tell a lie. Who, when he was reviled, slandered, maligned, abused, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's Christianity. Are you following along with me? That is Christianity. But you seldom see this in the church. That is why church is scattered. You seldom see this spirit manifesting in fellowships. That is why fellowships scatter. Because they will lie against someone, the fellow too will rise and gather his own 5 people, like Emmanuel suggested, to defend himself. So before you know it, they will spread bitterness over the place. Innocent people will become entangled. People who don't know the entire story. So people don't know whose side to take. So what God says, even if they lie against you, keep quiet. If you've done nothing wrong and they are spreading evil stories about you, keep quiet. When you keep quiet, God will speak for you. If you speak for yourself, you will spoil the entire situation, because you can never beat Satan when it comes to the game of slander. You can't beat the devil. It's his game. Gossip is the game of the devil. You can't beat him. And he will want to drag you into that game, into his own platform to fight. But he does not understand submission. Satan does not understand it. If he slaps your face and you just look like this, you have beaten the devil. He becomes confused. He doesn't know what to do. But if he slaps you and you slap him back, he gets more power. Say, hey, now let's trash this thing out. Any other question before I continue? You have another one. Yes, sir.
Somebody said that Christianity is not stupidity.
Christianity is not stupidity, okay? That's a prosperity. Yeah, okay.
That, let me see. If somebody annoys him,
yeah,
understand, he will react.
Yeah.
He might not be all the time. So I'm actually asking that, what should be the state of a person, of a Christian,
yeah,
when he's offended?
Okay. Christianity, somebody said Christianity is not stupidity. That if somebody should offend him, he will react. Okay? Judging by what we have shared so far in the Bible, yeah? Jesus Christ says, bless your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If any man will smite you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Abi? That's what Jesus says. Is that smart or is that stupid? I'm asking you a question, sir. Is that smart or is that stupid? It's stupid. That's what Jesus Christ says we should do. So Christianity is stupidity. the fellow who says that they are the people causing confusion in the church. That is why you see Christians, you don't know the difference between the Christian and the unbeliever. The unbeliever is cursing, the Christian is cursing. The unbeliever is keeping malice, the Christian is keeping malice. The unbeliever is living in unforgiveness, the Christian is living in unforgiveness. The unbeliever is revenging, the Christian is revenging. So you don't know the difference. We are called to be different. Are you getting my point? We are called to be different. The man who was hung on the tree and whose only possession was being used to do lottery was praying, Almighty God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen was being stoned to death. You remember the story? When his life was going on, what did he say? Almighty God, do not charge this sin into the account. The man was being killed. He was praying forgiveness for the people killing him. That is Christianity. Now, is that smart or is that stupid? When you look at it from the point of man, it is stupid. But from the point of God, pretty smart. Because when Stephen prayed that, heaven opened. Listen, let's get this right. Christianity is not about this world. Christianity is about preparing for eternal life. We mentioned it before that God is looking for human beings who will come and live in his house in eternity. And he's testing each one of us. You are getting the point? Whenever anyone provokes you, I always remember this quotation from Watchman Nee. Whenever anyone provokes you, the fellow is giving you an opportunity to show you are a Christian. Do you understand that? Or I should go over it again. Whenever anyone provokes you, the person provoking you is giving you an opportunity to show that you are a Christian. Many of us don't use that opportunity well. We use the opportunity to show the person that we are still an unbeliever. By the way we react. Let's continue. You see something interesting in Romans chapter 12. Let's go there. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 14 very quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Are we there, please? Bless them which persecute you, bless and what? And curse not. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Go to verse 17, please. Verse 17, Romans chapter 12. Recompense, which means repay, to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Does it answer your question now, Brother Uche and Debo? Huh? That somebody does something to you, you want to retaliate, what should you do? God says, don't do anything. Say, vengeance belongs to him. He's the one who will repay. Say, you don't. Now go to verse 20. Now say, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what should you do? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is Christianity. Now when you do that in the world, people will say you are stupid. You understand? Somebody cheats you. You do business with somebody, the fellow carry your money, steal your money, go. And then the following month, he still comes back to you. He said, please, oh guy, I did serious trouble. I can't pay my house rent. And you say, okay, how much is your house rent? And the guy tells you, and you pay. I will tell you, like you are laughing. I will tell you a real situation in this office here. We employ some security people. Each time we go home, they will call Keke Marwa here. They've already networked with people and they will start stealing the diesel from the generator. So we were buying diesel every three days. 720 liters. Every three days. Tell them, see, this generator must be consuming so much diesel. So we called the person that supplied the generator. How many liters is it supposed to? So that one told us it should last us 2 weeks. But it lasts just 3 days. So eventually we put pressure on the security people. We discovered that they were actually stealing the diesel. So the ringleader, we sacked. There was one of them who was not involved. We retained that one. Everything came out to the open. The fellow who were involved now finally confessed that they were stealing the diesel, and so they were all sacked. After we sacked them, the main security supervisor, who was the ringleader, had no job, could not get another job. His wife was pregnant. His wife gave birth. He didn't have money. He had nothing. So he came back to this office to come and meet me. That, Oga, I know I've done what is wrong. I'm sorry, Oga, please forgive me. Say, okay, you are forgiven. Say, I get trouble now. My wife has given birth. Money, I don't have. The things she needs, I cannot buy. And I don't even know. I'm so confused. So I called the other members of the management team. I said, what should we do to this guy? He said, never. All these are Christians. So I said, no. You people, you don't know what Christianity is. Go and write a check for him. So we asked him, how much do you need? He told us how much he needed. It runs into thousands. That will take care of all your present need. He said, yes. So go and write the check. And I signed it, and we gave him the money. He said, go. That is Christianity. Are you following along with me? That is what you are called into. All this one, he has done his own. I will do my own. You are going to hell. You are playing with hellfire. It is not Christianity. Are you following along with me? Jesus Christ says, be not overcome of evil. Means don't let evil overcome you. But you overcome evil with good. Another case in this office, we caught somebody who was stealing money, who lied about his degree, who told us that he has this degree, doesn't have it. We employed him, we were paying the salary of a graduate, and then when we discovered, we sacked him. When we were sacking him, I told the members of the team, we cannot sack him and let him go empty-handed. That the man has a wife, he has a family. Even though we are going to sack him, we will pay his salary for the next 3 months. So that when he goes, he will have 3 months to look for another job and support his family. And we pay the salary for 3 months. But we dismiss him because he's a thief. Are you following along with me? Because many of us have been brought up to take Christianity as a do or die upon our enemies. We are going to fight. I must revenge. I must do my own. You have done. I will show you that my father is the king of the universe. He's not your father. If he's your father, you will take your hands off that case and allow your father to fight. He already said vengeance belongs to him. He will revenge. He says whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. So in fact, if you know who your father is, the moment anyone offends you, you should be praying for that fellow. Say, you did this one to me, you are in trouble. Hey, you are in trouble. The day my father catches you, that's when you begin to, Almighty God, have mercy upon him. He's a foolish man. He doesn't know what he's doing. Just have mercy. Forgive him. Because I know when you deal with him, but we don't do that. Because we don't have that understanding. So we keep on carrying offense. We keep on carrying wound. We keep on carrying pain that we are not supposed to carry. Jesus Christ says they will offend you. He says it is impossible that they will not offend you. He said they will offend you. So, but this is how you must react. Are you following along with me?
Yes.
Hey, I want to go on with this teaching. Your questions are... Anyway, no, let's take it. It's part of the... It's good. You see, one of the mistakes we are making in the church, well, don't let me call it a mistake. The tradition that we have in the church is that a sermon is a monologue. A monologue means only one person is speaking. It's not supposed to be so. Are you following along with me? If what I'm saying is the word of God, then you too, you should contribute, because you too, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. I cannot say that I'm the only one carrying the Holy Ghost. Are you following along with me? I'm sure the way we have handled it this morning, you've learned a lot more than if it was just one person talking. Yeah? So we take just this one question.
Going back to the point of slander.
Yeah, point of slander, yeah?
If someone offends you,
yeah,
and now spreads about the story,
yeah,
and according to the Bible, he's,
yeah,
the one that is wrong and you're right.
Yeah.
I now go to tell the pastor,
yeah,
the wrong story.
Yeah.
And it spreads around the whole church.
Yeah. You pray for him. You pray for everybody that is spreading the story. Listen, even me myself, my wife is here. We had series of problems in the church which we did not handle with wisdom. We reacted. Are you following along with us? The day God was now showing us that we were wrong, we were now saying, if only we had known all these things. So this thing that I'm teaching you now, if I had known it years ago, I would have handled some situations differently. I can tell you I mishandled some situations. I didn't handle them at all. I had to go back to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. That I'm very sorry, I failed you. Because years later, I now looked back, I saw that the situation did not even merit my attention. Talk less of my emotion and my passion. Are you following along with me? Years later, I said, I should just have ignored them. But that time, I did not. I could not sleep. Ask my wife. I was so troubled at what they were saying. I know it was a lie. People were believing it. I was so troubled. I should just have slept. If the same thing happens again now, my reaction will be different. And that is what I'm sharing with you. Because all of us are learning. I hope you understand. We are all growing. See, let's make this point before I continue. I hope you will stop your questions and allow me to at least take this part for now. Praise the Lord. You are the one who started the question. So don't shake your head anyhow. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Why did he say bless them who persecute you? We just look at two points. Number one, it is better to bless than to curse, because you might be the person that is wrong. Do you get that? Something happens between two people and you claim that you are offended, and you begin to curse the offender, you might actually, in reality, be the person that is the offender. And you think that you are right. You see, it is possible for a man to be wrong, and yet the man is sincerely wrong. Okay? The man is wrong. But he does not know that he's wrong and he's being sincere. It has to take somebody to sit him down and explain to him that you are the one that is wrong. See, you should not have handled the situation like this, like this, like this. What your boss did is the right thing he's supposed to do because you did such and such a thing. It's like somebody comes late to the office now. I give the fellow a query and the fellow says he's bearing a grudge against me for giving him a query. It is my job to give you a query if you are late. Are you getting the point? If I don't give you a query, I'm not doing my job. Are you getting the point? It's like somebody does something wrong, I discipline the person, and the fellow gets angry that I disciplined him. It is my job to discipline you. If I don't, I'm not doing my job. So if the fellow that I disciplined now begins to curse me, you see that he's cursing an innocent person. The curse will return to him. So when Jesus Christ says it is better to bless than to curse, number one, no, don't curse, because you might just be the person that is wrong and you don't realize it. So if you pronounce a curse in such a situation, who are you cursing? You are cursing yourself. That's number one. Number two, offense is evil. Every offense is evil. And evil is triggered by evil spirits looking for evil response. It is evil spirit that will make somebody hate you and want you also to hate the person in return. Holy Spirit will not do that. So, if somebody offends you and you hate the person, and the person hates you back, how many hatred is now existing? Two. You have multiplied hatred. Are you getting the point? What Jesus Christ has chosen you to do is to destroy hatred, but you have multiplied it. When you repay evil for evil. Let's look at this. Tell me whether I'm right or I am wrong. Can anger overcome anger? I am angry, you are angry. Will the anger stop? What can overcome anger? Peace. Yeah? Can hatred overcome hatred? What can overcome hatred? Love. Yeah? Can enmity overcome enmity? You hate me, I hate you. Will the enmity end? What can overcome enmity? Forgiveness. Can darkness overcome darkness? Eh? What can overcome darkness?
Light.
So when God says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil can never overcome evil. Only goodness can overcome evil. So if you want evil to end, when they do evil, you do good. That is what you are called into. If you want hatred to end, when they hate you, you love them. If you want enmity to end, when they become your enemies, you become their friends. Huh? Where if you want darkness to end, when they switch off the light, you switch it on. And you say, we say we don't want darkness in this place. And then that brother, he went to switch off the fluorescent. Okay, me too, I will do my own. I will switch off all the bulbs. What have you done? You have nearly increased darkness. You say, that brother switched off the fluorescent. Okay, I will switch on the bulbs. Then you will overcome darkness. I pray that you will understand. And I pray that you will go home today with a new frame of mind. Because many of us have enemies. And many of us don't know how to handle the situations. And many of us are blaming people for certain things that have gone wrong in our lives. Please don't blame them. Forgive them. Are you flowing along with me? We shared last Sunday that if you do not forgive, you tie the experience around your neck for the rest of your life. It will keep repeating itself. There are some of us here who have been cheated in business. They have been cheated in business. Please let it go. Call the person by name. Go to the Almighty God in prayer. Heavenly Father, so and so cheated me of such and such amount. I forgive him and I release him in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you flowing along with me? Now, a very good, we will stop here. We have to stop here for today. Maybe we will continue after next Sunday. Next Sunday we'll be having a guest minister, so we probably will continue. There are still so many, well, one or two things, let me put it that way, that we need to mention about unforgiveness. Let me tell you this story in closing. So that you will have the right perspective. I was going to say something, but let me just end it off with this story, and then we can close. Our time is almost up. We all know the Redeemed Christian Church of God, right? the founder, the pastor who founded the Redeemed Christian Church of God, he was called Babala Koso. Okay? Babala Koso in Yoruba land means the general superintendent. When the man started Redeemed Christian Church of God way back 1952, there were just a handful of people that started. They were very small. And CAC had been well established, the Christ Apostolic Church. And the Redeemed, in those days, they didn't have money. They didn't have all these facilities that they had today. But the Baba loved evangelism. So he saw a tract that was produced by CAC. So he copied the tract, reproduced the tract, you understand, at his own expense. He reprinted it at his own expense and started using it for evangelism. The brethren in CAC got to hear about it. So they called him. That who gave you permission to reproduce our tract to use for evangelism? Ah, he said, nobody. He said he just saw the tract and he saw that the content in it was good. So he asked these people to reproduce it so that they will be using it for evangelism. They said, hey, and you didn't get permission from us? He said, no. He said, do you still have more of those tracts? He said, yes. He said, go and bring everything. So he went back, brought all the tracts, and brought it to them in the Apostolic Church. It was the Apostolic Church. In his presence, Christians, they burnt everything. They set all the tracts on fire. Why? Well, don't let's go into this issue of denominational rivalry. You want to be getting more members into your church by using our tract, we will not allow you. So the man became angry. I mean, you would have thought the anger was justified. Is that not so? If he was angry, you would have said he was angry on behalf of God. Is that not so? You would have said this man was fighting for God. Because what angered him, it's not that they even called him to bring the tracts. If they had seized the tracts and they now used it for evangelism, he would not be angry. But they burnt it. He didn't know that he was carrying the anger, but God noted it. 38 years after, please mark, 38 years after, Babala Koso died. He had done ministry. He had performed miracles. He had prophesied. The prophecy had come to pass. He had won souls. After 38 years, he died. And everybody will have said, Baba has gone to heaven. Is that not so? He actually got to heaven. An angel met him. The angel showed him round. You see this place? He said he sees it. He saw four crowns. He asked the angel, who is the owner of those four crowns? He said, those are your crowns for the work you have done. He saw a mansion, beautiful mansion. He asked, who is the owner of this mansion? The angel said, it is your own. It is my own. The Baba said he wanted to run. He said, the angel said, no. You can't enter. As a matter of fact, you cannot stay in heaven. You have to go to hell. But because of the work that you did, Almighty God says he wants to have mercy on you and give you another chance. Because if you die right now, you are going to hell. Therefore, you will go back to the world. You will go back. When you get to the world, there is a man you have been angry with for 38 years. You have not forgiven the man. Okay. Praise the Lord. There is a man that you have not forgiven. And the angel mentioned the name of the brother. Go back now and settle the quarrel with him. Because if you die without settling that quarrel, you will never enter heaven. The man woke up again. Everybody knew he was dead. They were beginning to plan funeral. He woke up again. As he woke up, he wrote a letter straight away to the people in that church, to the brother. For 38 years, I've been bearing a grudge against you. Please, I forgive you. Forgive me for not forgiving you. Settle the quarrel. Went to see the brother. Oga, it don't finish. Shortly after that, he now died finally. Is somebody learning something today? So if you are saying they've done something to me, Pastor, you don't know what you are talking about. You don't know. If you are the one they dealt with, the way they dealt with me, you will send Holy Ghost fire against them. I won't send Holy Ghost fire. I will send Holy Ghost mercy. Because me, I want to make heaven. I gave us an assignment last week, Sunday. I said, go and write the names of all the people you are angry with. All the people who have offended you. Including those who did it 38 years ago. Are you flowing along with me? And call each person by name, one by one. Almighty God, I forgive this one. I forgive this one. I forgive the one that offended you in Germany. The one that offended you in UK. The one that offended you at Incan Island. Every one of them, write their names. Make sure you settle every case of unforgiveness. Or else you don't belong to Jesus Christ. Or else you do not belong to Jesus Christ. Can we bow our heads in prayer? I want you to talk to the Lord. You know what the situation is. Some of you are angry with your parents. Some of you are angry with your spouses. Oh, there are not many women here. If there are so plenty, it would have been nice to say some of you are angry with your mother-in-law and your sister-in-law and your husband's people. Some of you are angry with your boss, with colleagues in the office. Hey, forgive them, oh. Release them. Forgive them. It is heaven that God has called you into. No matter what they have done to offend you, it is nothing compared with what you have done to offend God. And if God can forgive you, you must also forgive. If you don't forgive, you do not belong to Jesus Christ. We will stop here for today and continue another day after we have entertained our guest minister.